Hi, thank you for listening to the Print and Packaging Lab powered by PIA Mid-America. We are a regional trade association serving the printing industry. Today's episode is an excerpt of a wide format peer group webinar recorded in September 2025.
Well, good morning and welcome. My name is Teresa Campbell with PIA Mid-America, and you have joined our wide format peer group that is sponsored by Clampett Paper and Lindenmeyer Monroe. Today's topic is all things dye sublimation. Our panelists are Gabrielle Krumpler with Mamaki and Justin Van Heinig with Lindenmeyer Monroe. Let's start by having you each tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Sure. Thanks so much. Hello, everybody. My name is Justin Van Heinig. I work with Lindenmeyer Monroe. Before my time at Lindenmeyer, I was in production for 16 years. So I've been on the other side of the business, pretty much everything, all wide format, and primarily focused on textiles and sublimation. I'd say probably the last 12 years I was in production before I stepped on this side, more on the distribution and sales and support. With Lindenmeyer, I came on board and developed a textile and sublimation program. So we established all of our relationships with our equipment manufacturers, consumables, and we now provide a full service solution to our customers, everywhere from ink, thread, Velcro, machines, all the way down. So we really pride ourselves in being a resource. I love spending time on the floor with our customers, and you know, production is really where my heart is. So I've been on the other side, and you know, again, try to be a resource. But I've been in textiles and sublimation for quite some time now.
All right. Well, thank you. My name is Gabrielle Krumpler. I'm an application specialist here at Mamaki. I've been with Mamaki for 6 years. In my line of work, I help end users be able to use digital printers from design concept to creating tangible products. So my job is very hands-on with our textile products from our entry-level models to our more industrial products.
Dye sub is really a part of what we sometimes call wide format, but it's actually produced on a smaller scale too. So everything from buttons to mugs to koozies to metal photographic prints, all the way to trade show displays. Gabby, let's start with you to help our listeners learn just the basics of what dye sub really is.
Okay, yes. So dye sub is really a digital printing process that uses heat to transfer the dyes onto polyester materials. This can be, a fabric that you'll use for like sports jerseys. Have a couple applications here. But essentially what is happening is that the ink transitions from a solid to a gas without turning into a liquid stage. And it binds with the polyester receptor in the fabric. So this is something that you could use with polyester-based fabrics, as well as like some aluminum panels here that are coated with a polyester coating substrate, which it allows the ink to be receptive to the substrate here. So that's essentially what dye sub is. It's really a two-step process where you can print onto transfer paper, and then you take that over to a fixation unit. That can be a calendar heat press or a roll-to-roll calendar, and then you go into your cut and sew, or you just end up transferring over to an aluminum panel or any promotional goods.
Well, that offers a lot of variety for our industry. And so everyone has seen the printing industry evolve and have lots of emerging technology. Dye sub is one of those things. So customers don't know about it. Salespeople have to help explain it, but they might not have that capability in-house. What are your thoughts, Justin, on what all they can offer or sell, what all markets are available out there?
Sure. Well, the beauty of sublimation is really, you're like Gabby said, you're throwing ink on paper, right? And at the end of the day, nothing really gets simpler than that. And what it comes down to our customers and their customers, and what applications are looking to identify, is you can take that paper and pretty much throw it on anything, right? It's ceramic mugs, it's photographic panels, it's a ton of pre-sewn goods. So all the blankets and towels, beach towels, shirts, everything that you would order online as personalization is also sublimation. And then that also goes into your sign and display and then home decor and sports apparel, right? So it's really unlimited in what you can do with sublimation. But again, the process is simple and it's consistent, meaning most people will install a printer and they'll identify one paper that works for the goods or the applications that they're looking to provide to their customers. And for most times, you're just running one print profile, right? So it's one media, it's one print profile, and you're actually taking that good. And then you're saying, all right, well, what do I want to produce today? The only thing that really changes in that process, depending on your materials, is the time and temperature that you need to expose that good to, you know, to your ink. And then really it's completely, you know, scalable as well. So most people, will reach to a point where, their customers are coming to them and looking for sublimated goods and everybody's outsourcing it. So I think everybody needs to kind of take a look and see, you know, what they're outsourcing and what that number is. And if you can justify maybe bringing some capacity in house, one of the things that, you know, the beauty of sublimation is there's small entry level printers all the way from 8.5 by 11 all the way up. Now we have 5 meter direct to textile printers and everything in between. So it really does have a solution for everybody's price point. So you can have a small printer, small heat press. If you grow, you can add redundancy and add some smaller machines, or you can take it to the next level and then add industrial capacity. So again, it's completely scalable. At this point, I think they make a sublimation blank pretty much for anything. As far as, you know, home and daily use. But it's a unique process. And I think the learning curve is much simpler than most people realize.
Excellent. Gabby, will you talk a little bit about, you mentioned that transfer process. It's a two-step process. And so it's not a direct imaging process like some of our other digital printing options. It's not printing right on the material. What do you mean by transfer or two pieces of equipment to get it done?
Yeah, so we can discuss the printing workflow. So this is essentially the overview of like how you'll go from design concept to final product. So the first step is choosing your product of choice. Here we have an example of a mask application. After choosing your product, you move on to your CAD software. This could be Photoshop, Illustrator, CorelDRAW. This is where you're going to create all your graphics that you will essentially want to print on the digital printer. The file format that are acceptable for these softwares are TIFF, EPS, JPEG, PDF, et cetera. And then after you are done designing your graphics, you want to move into your RIP software. With Mamaki machines, every machine that you purchase, we offer Rasterlink 7, which is free of charge. This is our standard software, but with this software, it allows you to go in and you know, create your workflow and manage your colors. And then after your printing software, you're going to send all that print data over to your wide format printing. This enables you to do vast customization and increase your speed to market. So instead of, you know, waiting 2 to 3 months to produce a product because you're waiting for the strike-offs to be approved, digital printing allows you to turn around a good within 2 to 3 days or even a day. So,
excellent. My questions for both of you are related to variable data. So because it's digital and because that piece is going to be transferred specifically to a substrate, you could print many with names and numbers. Okay. And so any issues on the dye sub side that our listeners need to be aware of related to variable data or personalization?
I don't think so. I mean, it pretty much handles, you know, at this point, you can run pretty much any RIP software of your choice onto your, you know, sublimation system. And it's following the same concepts, right? So, you know, variable data, I mean, really where sublimation has its benefits is in customization, personalization, print on demand. I mean, I think years and years ago, you know, I think when we started adapting to, you know, sign and display, right? All of our uniforms were still screen printed or done all these different ways. But now if you look at the figures, I think, you know, the apparel market here in the US pretty much owns the sublimation market as a dollar figure compared to some of these other applications. But yeah, I mean, variable data is not an issue. I think the workflow that everybody is accustomed to on, you know, the offset side or on the digital side relates really well to wide format printing and also in sublimation.
Talk a little bit about, you know, we've used the word polyester multiple times, and that's really, really what dye sublimation is. Could it also work with cotton fabric, or what are your thoughts there?
No. So I would say, like, scientifically, the sublimation inks are modified or, you know, are curated to work specifically for polyester-based materials. So if you do use dye sub inks on cotton, what you tend to see is after even washing the substrate, the ink will wash out. Why? Because the ink isn't even embedded in the fibers. Then also too, like if you sublimate to a cotton material, you'll also get like a vintage effect. So your graphics won't be as, you know, vibrant and saturated like you see here. Oops, I don't know if you can see. Sorry, my camera.
Yeah. And so it's very vibrant if you're using polyester fabric. And while you could apply it to a cotton piece of fabric, the longevity is poor and the vibrancy is poor.
Right. Yeah.
Typically, you would want about 70% polyester content to sublimate onto an apparel good.
So it could be a blend.
Yeah.
What are examples of things that our listeners encounter every day that they probably don't even realize are dye sublimation? My guess is, you know, they have clothing in their closet and they don't realize it's dye sublimation. And how can they tell if it is or if it's not?
I would say, oh, go ahead, Justin.
No, I was going to say, I mean, one, that's a good question. Two, I mean, they're pretty much everywhere, right? I mean, at this point, you might be putting socks on in the morning that are sublimated. I mean, obviously, clothing, apparel, things around the house. When you make your cup of coffee, that's probably a sublimated mug if it has imagery on it. Your kitchen towels that are hanging, you know, your decoration towels are probably sublimated. Blankets that are laying in your living room, right? Gabby has a perfect example there. There's a blanket. Your window treatments. I mean, goes down to pillows in your couch. But really, it's just anything that is a textile, right? Or a hard good at this point, that has print on it, there's a really good chance that is sublimation. Even when you go to convention now, most of the time, all of your name tags are sublimated onto a FRP material that's coated to receive that sublimation ink. So it's and once you step out of the house, it even gets worse, right? I mean, when you go into a retail environment, you know, all the signs that are on the side of the walls, these are all silicone edge graphics, where in the past these were printed on paper or PVC, these are all fabric. And the reason they are is because it's easy to interchange, right? So they're applying a frame system to all these walls, and the graphics can easily be swapped in and out based on promotion, seasonal. It's pretty scary. I would say walk around, touch everything. And you know, if it's soft, there's a pretty good chance it's sublimation.
Right. So if I'm wearing a blouse and I look to the other side and it's not a woven fabric, it's probably sublimated because it's one-sided. Gabby, you showed an example where it was white on the back, which is a lot more cost-effective than a woven fabric. So you can get lots of blanks and be able to really print on the side of anything. It seems like there are some shirts or fabrics, materials that you can buy that have already been made into shirts and we can put the image on there, or you can buy rolls of fabric, put the image on there, but then it has to be sewn together front to back. Right. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
And is that how you would see typically like a baseball jersey versus a blouse?
Yeah, at this point, you know, there's so many great materials for sports apparel. You see it in cyclist uniforms, you see it in baseball uniforms. There's even baseball pant material, right? So it's everything is adapting. Swimwear is another huge sublimation market. But athletic wear, I'd say is, you know, that's where now pretty much everybody is running roll to roll, which meaning printing rolls of paper, running rolls of fabric, and then taking that offline to be cut. And it could be typically like on a laser cutter, and then move to a sewing department where they're taking all those pieces and then sewing them together.
Right. And that also applies to fashion and apparel as well. Yep.
All right. If we're talking about commercial print and wide format, can you give us some examples of how Dye Sub is impacting the wide format market in terms of, you know, you can print onto a rigid coroplast, or you could do Dye Sub, but if I'm walking through the airport, how do I know which one it is?
Gotta touch it. You know, that's what I do. I touch everything. I think everybody looks at me like I'm a weirdo, but you know, I've been in this world forever, right? So touch and smell it, right? It's the easiest way to tell if it's printed UV. But really, when you're looking at cyan display, it's cost of shipment, right? I mean, is a huge factor with soft goods and textile, you know, prints. In trade show environment, I see it's probably, you see it the most, right? If you go back 10 years, you would walk the trade show floor and you'd see a lot of encapsulated graphics that magnetize to, you know, pop-up structures, and all that's gone away. Everything now is it's textile. And a big part of that is durability. If something gets dirty, you can wash it. The longevity increases, it always looks great, but also cost of shipment. So we were able to move graphics around much quicker, right? And take, for example, a retail environment, and you have a sign that just say, you know, 4x6, right? Well, you can take that 4x6 graphic and fold it up into a small envelope and ship that to the customer. But if you were to ship a 4x6 board, one, it's at risk of damage. You're probably going to spend more money building a crate than you are producing that graphic. And then once it gets on site, you can easily install it into the frame. So it's it is durability, cost of shipment, ease of use.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Print and Packaging Lab podcast powered by PIA Mid-America. The full episode is a member-only benefit. Contact us to learn more about membership and for access to this and other content made for the printing and packaging industry. Get in touch by emailing us at info@piamidam.org.